Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You know, my wife is, she didn't come with me today. And so I had someone out there looking for her because she said she was going to be coming in a cab because we were coming from different places. And so I was sitting over there on the side waiting for her. So when she comes in, she goes and sits next to the pastor and leaves me on the other side. So praise ye the Lord. I was with her in the hospital this week, but I guess that just doesn't count for anything today. I think I'm going to be in trouble when I get home. If you would turn with me to the book of Genesis and chapter number 21, to the book of Genesis and chapter number 21, I believe that the Lord has a word for us tonight. And I just like to start in the book of Genesis in chapter number 21. And I want to talk about the faithfulness of God. But I want to talk about the faithfulness of God in the minor key. I want to talk about the faithfulness of God in the minor key. Genesis chapter number 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, who she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. May the Lord add a blessing unto the reading, the hearing, and the application of his word. Amen. God is faithful. But God is faithful also in the minor key. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter number 2, starting at verse number 8, there's a beautiful scripture. Oh, everyone knows it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it goes on and says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Oh, okay, I should have been reading it out of the New King James. I was quoting out of the old. You have to forgive me. I was brought up under the old King James, and I'm still trying to move over to the New King James. So you have to give me a little bit of grace. Is that all right? Yeah. But one of the things that he talked about where we were his workmanship, that comes from a word that is related to the word that we have today, that is the word poem. Another translation says that we are his masterpiece. That is that God is at work and putting us together and shaping us, making us a work of art for him. When I think about a masterpiece, and I think about some of the great composers like Beethoven and Mozart. And one of the things is that when you compose, and I don't know very much about music, but I do know that there are things that are called major keys and minor keys. And you know, sometimes when we use the word major and minor, it kind of distinguishes sort of the work that you do or maybe the place that God has you. And sometimes we make value judgments about what does it mean to be a major player or a minor player. You can even look when you watch plays or movies, is that there will be certain people that you see who you know are major characters. That is, that the story revolves around them. And then there are other characters that are minor characters, and the story doesn't quite revolve around them. And I want you to think about the setting that we just talked about, where there was an Abraham, and there was a Sarah, and there was an Isaac. And then there was also a Hagar and an Ishmael. And what I'm going to submit to you today is we know that God blesses the Abrahams, that God blesses the Sarahs, that God blesses the Isaacs. But sometimes I feel like a Hagar and an Ishmael. And does his promises work in the minor key? I know they work in the major key. I know that when he is using the pastor, I know it works. But sometimes I don't feel like a pastor. Sometimes I don't feel like things are working out. Sometimes I feel like the underdog. Does his promises still work? I know that God is faithful for the majors. But is he also faithful for the minors? Is he also faithful when I'm part of the supporting cast? As well as I am the main star, is he still faithful? And I know that if you were to go to the book of Galatians, Galatians. Go to the book of Galatians in chapter number 4. You know, sort of Paul talked a little bit about what took place with between Abraham and Hagar and between Ishmael and Isaac. And he said some things there. And sometimes when we read those, we kind of leave out the personal side. And I just want to go there just for a minute. It's Galatians chapter number 4, and I'll get there in just a moment. Starting at verse number 22. Let's start at verse number 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is in its bondage with her children. But Jerusalem above is free, which is mother of us all. We could spend a lot of time talking about that, but I just want to point out the contrast he makes. He says that there were two mothers. One, Hagar. She was a slave. She was a bondwoman. The other was Sarah. She was a free woman. The bondwoman had a child. That child was Ishmael. He was born naturally. But then Sarah had a child. That child was a supernatural birth, because who would believe that a woman 90 years old, a man 100 years old, can give birth? And he compares those to these two covenants, the covenant of the law, which sets us in bondage, and the covenant of the law, which is after the flesh or natural, against the covenant of grace and the covenant of mercy, the covenant that is in Jesus Christ, which is indeed frees us from the curse of the law, and which also then is a particular promise that reminds me of the fact that I'm free. Because those whom the Son sets free, that they're free and free indeed. But my point I want to make, he says it is a symbol. Am I did something wrong? Take a little extra time, Jerry. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. You could have just told me, you know. Okay. I can see that now. I can see that now, right? But what point I want to make, he says that was a symbol. And sometimes when I read it symbolically, what I forget is we're talking about real people. Come on. Just think about Hagar. She was a slave. which means that she had no control over what happened to her. When she was in Egypt, we don't know how she became a slave within Egypt, but she got into Abraham's house because the Pharaoh simply gave Abraham all these gifts in exchange for the fact that he was getting what he thought was a sister and turned out his wife, Sarai. But she had no control over it. It's not like she raised her hand and said, I want to go with Abraham. And all I'm saying is that there are people here that find themselves in situations that you had nothing to do with. If you had something to say about it, it wouldn't be the way that it is. Does God still bless?
Yes.
Yes. Is he still faithful?
Yes.
But I want to see it in here.
Yes. Yes.
And the Bible says those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might know that God is faithful. He's not only faithful to the major characters, he's also faithful to the minor. He's not only faithful to those that are on center stage, he's faithful to the support and the extras as well.
Yes.
And it's in his word.
Yes.
And it's in his word. So she had no control over anything. Even when Sarah came up with the idea, and we don't have time, otherwise I would tell you how it would kind of be played out within my house. Honey, looking out at the children, you know, we still don't have children, and I am getting older. Watch how you respond to that, because you don't want to say, yes, honey, don't want to do that in my house.
Amen.
Amen. Then again, I can see, we don't have time to play it out, but how the conversation would go. Now, tell me what God said to you. He said, that we're going to have children. Now, tell me exactly what he said. I don't know exactly what he said, honey. He just said, we're going to have children. No. You were there, weren't you? What did he say? Well, honey, I think he said, I'm going to have a son. Wait. Did he say, you're going to have a son? I don't know. Look, you were there. What did he say? Now, I don't know how it played out within your house. That's kind of how it would play out within my house. But what about Hagar? When Sarah came and said, go, did she have a choice? Was anything she could say? Now, we need to understand that even though what Sarah and Abraham did sounds very bizarre today, it was the custom or the culture at that time that if a woman was barren, it was so important to have children that there were a lot of things that were available to you, at least within the culture, that you could give to your husband, your handmaiden. Remember the sons of Israel or the sons of Jacob? A number of those didn't come from Leah or from Rachel, but they came from their handmaidens. But even so, one of the things I learned, when God gives me a promise, you know, he's big enough to take care of it on his own. He does not need my help. And all that my help can be is help that is in the flesh. And he wants to demonstrate a help that is from above, a help that comes from the Spirit of God. But I don't want to talk about Abraham. I don't want to talk about Sarah. I'm looking at Hagar. And yes, when she finds she has a child, and she might have believed that for a brief moment, maybe her status had changed. Maybe there was something different. Maybe when Abraham looked at her, that he looked at her not just as a slave, not just as a piece of property, not just as some material, that maybe he saw something in her, and she began to respond that way, only to find out that Sarah was angry. See, I know God blesses the Sarahs, and I know that God blesses the Abrahams. But I want to know, when I find myself in a Hagar or an Ishmael situation, does he still have promises for me? Does he still talk to me? Does he still work on my behalf? And I don't want you to tell me, I want to see it in here, because I got to know it came from him and not just because you're saying something nice to me. So she ran. And in Genesis chapter number 16,
a strange thing happens to this nobody, to this bondwoman, to this slave, to someone who was just thrown around as a piece of meat. Something happened. For it says in the book of Genesis and chapter number 16, in verse number 5, then Sarah said to Abraham, my wrong be upon you.
You like that, right? So now we're talking about your home, right? So we know where the blame gets in there. All right. Happens in mine too, but I wasn't going to say anything about that. So in Genesis chapter 16, then Sarah said to Abraham, my wrong be upon you. I gave my handmaiden into your embrace. And when she saw that she conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. So Abraham said to Sarah, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord found her. Oh, you don't hear me. See, for everybody else, she was a nobody. But God found her. Oh, I got to see it in here. I got to know that God is faithful, not only on the major keys, but he plays the minor keys as well. I need to know that. Found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Sur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maiden, where have you come from and where are you going? She says, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah. The angel of the Lord said to her, return. Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Now, that's hard. And fortunately, there's not a period. Well, there is a period there, but it doesn't stop there. For the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. Oh, do you hear it? Even though for everyone else she was a nobody, that nobody was able to get a promise from God. When nobody else saw her, he found her. And then he spoke to her and he gave her a promise. He says, so you always remember that promise. He says in verse number 11, the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you're with child. She knew she was with child, but she didn't know the sex of the child. So to let her know that she would forever know she's hearing from the Lord, she says, and you shall bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael. And the word Ishmael means God hears. God hears. Then he says, because the Lord has heard your affliction. I need to know. He's not just a God of the people up front. He's a God of the whole earth. And there is nothing, it says in the book of Jeremiah, that's too hard for him. He found her and gave her a promise. The one that everyone else had discounted, would overlook. Or maybe you've never been there, but to be in a room and have people just act like you're not there, just look over you, around you, and even through you. But God saw her, and he would not overlook her predicament. Because look at this. Look at what she does. Even though where she was treated harshly, at the word of the Lord, she returned. Oh, you don't hear me. At the word of the Lord, she returned to that hostile situation, to someone she knew didn't like her, because God said it, she returned. Lord says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. Then she also called the place in verse number 13. Oh, well, we'll go back to verse 12 in a minute. 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her.
You are the God who sees. That's what I need to know. No one else might see me. The circumstances in my life might suggest that God can't be with you. I know he is a God, the Lord, that sees me. Despite what's going on in my life, he sees it. And not only does he see it, but he cares about what he sees. Oh, that's why the Bible says, how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? But he does say something in verse number 12. In describing her son, he shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hands against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. Think about the home that Ishmael was raised in. He has a mother who's considered and treated like a slave or a servant. His father's wife doesn't like him, despises him. Or maybe there's somebody that came from a home like that, where there was division in the home, where your step just didn't care for you. You're in the book. God has you in here. And he says, I see and I care. And I can still give you a promise. And I can still fulfill that promise. If you just trust me and obey me. It's in the book. The Bible says in verse number 16 of Genesis 16, and Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. Oh, chapter 17. We just don't have time to talk about chapter 17. This great covenant chapter. But I just want to go first to the first verse. When Abraham was 99 years old. Now, if you've ever been in any of my classes, I never ask difficult questions. So how many years was it? From... I was going to ask them. I walked all the way over there, and you just tell them. For 13 years, Abraham thought he had the promise of God. For 13 years, he told his son Ishmael that you were the one. For 13 years, then all of a sudden God shows up. And he makes this covenant with Abraham. We don't have time to talk about the covenant where God reveals himself in verse number 1 as God Almighty, El Shaddai, or El Shaddai. Who's our Hebrew? Wait, everybody. They will tell me afterwards how I should have pronounced it. And he goes in and he even gives Abraham a name change in verse number 5. And also does the same thing for Sarah, all part of what covenant means. We just don't have time to talk about that. And then he goes on down and he creates this ritual or this rite or this sign, this symbol of the covenant, which is the circumcision. Then he comes down into verse number 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, king of people shall be with her. Verse 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Remember now, as far as he was concerned, he had the promise. As far as he was concerned, the Lord had blessed him. And he loved his son.
And then God gives this final word. Then God said, no. Because from the foundation of the world, I had already ordained how this was going to work out. Now, if we had more time, we'd talk about why the Lord might have waited for 13 years to let him know. But for me, what I want to know is when things happen in my life that I can't explain, when I can say, God, you should have known about this. How could you let this thing happen? Can he still bless me? Is his faithfulness still good? Is his promises still there? That's what I want to know. Because that's life. I go one way and then I'm happily married and everything looks fine. And one day he comes in and says, I don't love you anymore. Where are your promises now, God? Are you with me now? So he says unto Abraham in Genesis chapter number 17, verse 19. Then God said, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. We could talk about what Isaac means, but that'll get us off the point right now. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. Verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear you at this set time next year. He still had a promise left. You see, sometimes I look at God like me, and when I look at him like me, there's a limit. I only got so much. You can wipe out my bank account real easy. But you know, God can bless you and you and you and you, and he still has enough left over for you and I. He still has enough. Hasn't bankrupt heaven. I might be disappointed, but God still has enough. That's why he says, I'm the God of all flesh, and there's nothing that's too hard for me. And we get, after the child is born, in Genesis chapter number 17. Oh, I'm sorry, we're there. Genesis chapter number 21. This is where we started. This is where we started. Dad, you called me son for 13 years. My stepmom now as a child. What am I in your eyes now, Dad? You see, in the book of James, the Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passion. And sometimes when we read this, we kind of take the fact that these were real people out of it. And the danger with that is I can't find myself anymore. Everybody is a super person. They don't have feelings like I have. And then I wonder, will God also work for me the way that he worked for them? But even mighty Elijah was a man of like passions or nature as we are. So here he is. He's 14 now. His younger brother is being weaned. There's a big celebration. Those of you that were either born into families or have families, you know how kids are. Particularly, you get a little jealous. So the Bible says that's what he did. He got jealous and he said something. As a matter of fact, it's interesting if you look at Genesis 21 and verse number 9. At the end of the verse, it says, whom she born to Abraham. Oh, let me read it. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had born to him, whom she had born to Abraham, scoffing. You know, that's the same word that's used earlier in verse number 6, where it says laugh, because that's what it's the same word. And the word means to laugh, and it means that you can laugh in merriment or you can laugh in scorn. He laughed at him. Boy probably did something funny or stupid. Fell down. Said something. And for that one thing, his stepmother said, that boy and his mom got to get out of here. And we know that Abraham loved him because it displeased even Abraham. It was hard for him to come to grips with. But the funny thing is, Abraham went to God. Now, honey, close your ears. And God said, listen to the woman.
Amen.
I knew I should have put those ears on. Is this not the God that you told me for so many years, Dad, that he loves me, that he has a promise for me, he has a future for me? Was that not true? Is it over? I know you're the God of the major characters, but I want to be sure you're the God of the minor, because sometimes my life revolves more around minor things than the major things. And I want to be assured that you still have a promise for me, that you can still be faithful in my difficult times, as well as my mountaintop experiences. And the Lord reassures Abraham in Genesis chapter number 21 and verse number 13. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. The Bible says that they left. Time is running out. They left. And as they left, they took water, but they were going through the wilderness and their water ran out. By this time, Ishmael was at least 14. Some commentators will have him anywhere from 14 to 19, because children could be weaned even up to as late as the age of 3 to 5. But he was faint. He fell down, and his mother cried out that she didn't want to see her son die. Sometimes I think and said, if he was 14 or 17, he should be stronger than his mom. But maybe the reason why he fell down is because he used all of his provision to take care of his mom. And so now he's grown faint. He's grown so faint that you can't even hear what he's saying. But in verse number 17, and God heard the voice of the lad. Oh, you don't hear me. You don't hear me. No one else, not even his mom, could hear. But God heard. And I love what it says. Verse 17, and God heard the voice of the lad. The angel of God called to Hagar of heaven and said, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. God not only heard his voice, he didn't have to go to the temple.
That's right.
He heard him where he was. Because sometimes I can't get to the house of the Lord. But where I am, if I cry out, will you hear me, Lord? He heard him
where he was. And then it says, again, renewing the promise, arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. Oh, you don't hear that either. In other words, the provision was already there. It's just that she couldn't see it. Lord, does that mean that the things that I'm going through, the provision that I need, it's already there? All that you need to do is to open my eyes. Fear not, amen. For the Lord is with you. But what about Hagar? You've given these promises to Ishmael. Haven't fulfilled them all yet, but you've given him these promises. What about Hagar? Remember what we read in the book of Galatians? She's always called a bondwoman, a slave. You know, in Genesis 21, when she was sent away from Abraham's house, she was no longer a bondwoman. She was finally free. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Even though we always refer to her as a bondwoman, it's the same thing with Rahab the harlot. We always refer to her as a bondwoman, but God came into her life and he changed it. And you know what he did for Hagar? When he got through with her, she was no longer a bondwoman. She was free.
That's right.
But he did make a promise. He did make a promise. He did make a promise unto Ishmael. And I just don't want a doubt to be left in anyone's mind that God is not only the God of the major characters, not only the God of those that are in front. God is the God of all flesh to those who will obey him and trust him. Amen. He is more than enough. Amen. And in the book of Genesis and chapter number 25, the last reference that we have to Ishmael, at least in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 25, Abraham dies. His sons, Isaac, at least, and Ishmael bury him. And in Genesis 25, we're going to begin the genealogy of Isaac in verse number 19. But sandwiched in between the death of Abraham in verse number 11 and the beginning of the promised seed, or the genealogy of the promised seed in verse number 19, there's a very short genealogy, the families of Ishmael. And I won't read all the names, starting at verse number 13. And these were the names of the son of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. So I don't butcher their names. I won't read them, but I will go to verse number 16. These were the sons of Ishmael, and these were their names by their towns and their settlements. 12 princes according to their nations. Oh, do you see it? Do you see it? Isn't that what he promised? And Genesis chapter number 17, when he made his covenant. God is faithful, even in the minor keys. He's faithful. See, I don't know exactly what's going on here. I'm just glad I'm here. But there's an excitement. There's an expectation. We're going to choose to believe God and what it is that he has said.
Yes.
And believing God, we're going to expect to see miracles and signs and wonders. But the book of Acts is going to continue here. But as that is going on, that we're all at different stages and God uses us differently. And what the Lord put on my mind, I didn't send you to the 99 tonight, but I want to send you to the one. To that one that might feel that they're out of place because you see all these things happening to others. But my life feels more like the beginning of the life of Hagar and Ishmael. And I want you to know that God still has a promise. And God is still faithful even to the Hagars and the Ishmaels if they will just believe him and trust him. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. For he shall strengthen. He shall strengthen. He shall strengthen our hearts. So I don't know who that one is. But I'm here to tell you that God sent me to that one. Because that's just the kind of God he is. And he sent me to say that I'm faithful. I'm faithful whether I'm playing the major keys or playing the minor keys. Whether I'm working directly with you or working through you individually. Where I've called you to be the water in the pitcher or to be the carrier of the pitcher, I'm still faithful. And I will perform my word within your life. So be of good cheer. For the Lord says he's overcome the world.